Turn to the book of Nehemiah. You sure you don't have a song, Emily? It's good to have Brother Brian. He slipped in on us. That's how them big time preachers do. They got to sleep in after the service has started so they don't start a fuss or any commotion. Nehemiah chapter number 1. I won't read this entire chapter. So, Bible says the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chisalu, in the 20th year I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked him concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates are ever burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. And Lord, we just thank you for how you blessed our lives, Lord. And Father, I ask that you just help us now, Lord, as we look into your word this evening. Father, I pray that you give us liberty, Lord. I ask that you give us clarity of thought. Lord, I ask you, Father, most importantly, Lord, that you be exalted and glorified, Lord, and God, that you might just do a work in the hearts of your people, Lord. Father, we need you tonight, Lord. Father, if you don't do the work, or if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up and touch the hearts of your people, Lord, we've met in vain, Father. And God, we're just solely dependent upon you, Lord. If there's anything accomplished tonight, Father, it will be you and by your grace, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we get toward the end of the year, I can't help but just think how God has blessed my life. And sadly, if we'd be honest, we take a lot of God's blessings for granted. There's not a one of us, I mean, I suspect every one of us had somewhere to sleep every night this year. God fed us, He's clothed us, but we just take it lightly. We don't think much of it. We just take it for granted. Do you know there's people that spend all year living under the bridge? Living out on the streets. I mean, God provides. Listen, they've worried where their next meal was coming from. And our biggest worry was when we're going to find time to go to the store. I mean, God has blessed us and we just take it for granted. He's provided for us our physical needs. I mean, every one of us could be sitting here. We could be in the hospital laid up with cancer. Brother Allen, the child, you're requesting prayer. That could be my children. But you know what? God has blessed us. And so many times we just take things for granted. But when I start thinking of how good God has been to me, it's sobering thought when I start thinking how unfaithful and how sorry I've been to Him. Amen. I mean, really, just let's just think for a minute. How many souls did you win to the Lord this past year? I mean, we're the light. I mean, we're their hope. I mean, they're dying and going to hell. The only hope they have is that God would use us to share the gospel with them. That the Holy Spirit could then take that and bring conviction to their hearts. How many souls did you win this year? You know what? We'd all probably just have to hang our heads in shame. I mean, as good as God's been to us, look how unfaithful we've been to Him. How much energy did you put forth in spreading the gospel? I mean, we give to missions, but really, if we'd be honest, our money's probably the easiest thing we can give. Because our time's the most valuable thing. You know what? I suspect if I was to go out here and say, everybody in here, I need you to give me 3 hours on Saturday, and if you can't do that, I need you to give me $20. You know what? I'd walk out of this church now with a pocket full of 20s. That's just how I am. And you know what? I'd be right there with you. I'd be handing the 20 out. You know why? Because my time is so precious. But how much time do we give to God? As good as He's been to us, everything He's provided for us, all the answered prayer, all the blessings, and just think of how little we've done for Him. How much knowledge of the Word of God did you gain this year? I mean, the Bible does say, study to show thyself approved. Is your lack of knowledge, is it due to lack of effort? I mean, I'm just asking, what have we done this year? It always sobers me at the end of the year when I start looking back, and if this sounds awful, but you know what? I've just wasted it. I've wasted another year of my life. The things that last year at this time I was going to do better, that I was going to do this and do that, you know what? I didn't get it done. And all those missed opportunities, you know, it's this water spilled on the ground that can't be gathered back. I mean, it's just gone. And tomorrow, you know what the world's going to do? They're going to make their resolutions for what they're going to do. There'll be countless millions. You know what they're going to say? I'm going to lose weight this year. There'll be others, I want to stop some habit. Whatever bad habits you can think of, there'll be somebody, you know what, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to manage my time better. I'm going to do better. We make all these resolutions, but you know what? Resolutions don't last. Those very people that tomorrow will say, you know what, this year's going, I'm going to lose this weight, I'm going to do this, you know what? By the end of January, they won't think another breath about it. I've never heard anybody say, my life has changed because 10 years ago I made a New Year's resolution. It just changed my life forever. I've never heard anybody say that. And you know what, God's people, we don't need resolutions. You know what we need? We need rededication. Amen. We need to be willing to take the reins and just say, Lord, my life is Yours. Lord, You lead and guide and You direct my steps this year. Because if we'd be honest, we give God lip service. We call Him Lord, but we do what we want to do. We say, I'm going to follow the Lord wherever He leads, but I'm wanting to go in this direction. And really, we just give Him lip service. The bottom line is what I'm getting at. Is there should be a desire in each and every one of our hearts next year to just do better. I mean, I want to make a difference. That's what I want to do. I just want to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And you know, you can go all through the Bible and you know what you see? Page after page of men who made a difference. I mean, there's Noah delivered his family. You say, well, it wasn't a big, he didn't make a big difference. To those 8 people, he made all the difference in the world. There's Moses went down, delivered an entire nation. He made a difference. Future generations were blessed because of what Moses did. There's Elijah went down when a whole nation's struggling in idolatry, wondering who the true God is. You know what he does? He goes down and he prays fire down from heaven to reveal the true God. There's a man that made a difference. And I mean, you look at the disciples, the Apostle Paul, I mean, we could just go on and on. Those men touched the lives of others and made a difference. And that's what I want to do. And deep down inside, I know that's what you want to do. And as I started just thinking about men that made it, my mind went to Nehemiah. Here's a man that made a difference. And you know the story, Israel. They had sinned, they turned their backs on God, and God allowed them to go into captivity. And then when they return, they're suffering. There's no walls. The first group goes down, here's the second group. There's no walls, they're suffering. And here's a man that goes down, touches the hearts of the leaders and the people, and gets them to build a wall. And now here's a whole generation that's going to grow up, and you know what? They understand what a wall is about. And let me say this. You know what's happening in churches today? We've forgotten what it's like to have a wall. I mean, Nehemiah's going down there to try to encourage them to build a wall. Why hadn't they been done it? It's been about 90 years. You know what happened in that time? One generation dies off the scene and another generation comes on the scene. That new generation, the only life they'd ever known was no walls. You know what's happening in churches? The standards have been lowered for so long, we're raising a generation and all they've ever known is immodest dress. All they've ever known is false doctrine. All they've ever known is all that stuff. They don't know what it's like to have walls. And they just embrace that. Nehemiah went down and built a wall. Nehemiah touched the lives. God used Nehemiah to touch the lives of others and make a difference. That's the man I want to be. But what was so special about Nehemiah? What separated him from me? What made him different from you? And I just started just thinking about some things. Before God ever opened the door for Nehemiah to go to Jerusalem, in chapter 2 is when he goes to Jerusalem. We learn a lot about Nehemiah in chapter 1. And what I want to look at just for a few minutes this evening, I want to look at some qualities that Nehemiah had in his life that we need to incorporate, that we need to carry with us in this next year. And you could just go on and on. I mean, you could look at verse 4. He was a man of prayer and fasting. And I mean, we all know the importance of prayer. We may not practice it like we should, but we all know its importance. I mean, you look, he was a man of compassion. I mean, he wept. You can read him down through there. I mean, he's a man, he's trusting in the Word of God. Verse number 9, talking about, if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, they were cast out into the uttermost part of heaven. Yet will I gather them from thence and bring them to the place that I've chosen to set my name there. Here's a man who had confidence in the Word of God. And we could just pick several things. But what God laid upon my heart tonight was just two little qualities. Out of all the things we could see from chapter 1, there's two things that jump out at me that really I need to incorporate in my life. And if you'd be honest, you probably do too. And the first thing I want you to notice was he was a man that was concerned about the needs of others. Look at verse number 2. That Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Here's what he's concerned about. The Jews and Jerusalem. He's concerned about the people of God and the place of God. And I started thinking, why would he care? Why would he even care? Really, his life's pretty good as far as a servant goes. He's the king's cupbearer. He's not laboring out in the fields. He's not out there sweating, laboring, cutting wheat, tilling the ground. You know what he's doing? He's standing in the palace, right there with the king. His life's good. Did you know as far as servants go, probably everybody wanted his job. I mean, he's not going to be dressed in shabby apparel. I mean, he's going to look nice. I mean, it's important that he looks the best he possibly can. He's got the inside track, so to speak. He's right there with the king. He knows things that are taking place. What I want you to see is he had a pretty good life. Was it his fault they were suffering? I mean, really? Was it his fault that the people down in Jerusalem were suffering because there was no wall? Was it his fault that two generations ago that they turned idolatry and turned their backs on God and God led them into captivity? Really? He could argue and say, you know what, everything is the same place. You know, it's not my fault. I had nothing to do with that. Hey, they chose to return. Nobody made them. They knew it was going to be rough. They just need to learn to deal with it. That's the choice they made. Just deal with it. Sounds like a lot of us, don't it? You know what? We're really not concerned about others. As long as everything's going good in our life, you know what? We're not really concerned about other people. We look at people and their problems, and you know what we think? It's the choices they made. Hey, they made some bad choices, bad decisions. They're just going to have to learn to live with them. We're not really concerned. Nehemiah was a man that made a difference in the lives of others because he was concerned about other people. You know what our greatest problem is? It's indifference. Our attitude of indifference. We just don't care. Last week, you know what we did? We celebrated Christmas. How many of us were concerned about those that didn't have much to give, that struggled through Christmas? I mean, there's some people, they had nothing. And we're worried about where to put all this stuff we got. How concerned are we? Hey, Sister Taylor, you know what she did? She had her first Christmas without her daddy. How many of you are concerned enough to call and ask how she did? There's her mama. First Christmas without her husband. Were we even concerned enough to call and ask how you're doing? Hey, just wanted to check on you, let you know we're thinking about you. But we care, don't we? I mean, we say we're concerned, but you know what? Our actions, you know what? We're really not. We say all the right things. I mean, people come up and share their heartaches and their burdens and their cares, and we act so concerned, we'll be praying for you. Yeah, boy, I hate to hear that. I am so sorry. And we never think another breath about it. Unless we're needing something to gossip about or need something just to talk about, and then we'll bring it up. But we don't pray about it. People request prayer for their lost loved ones, and how many times have we forgot their name before it even gets off our lips? I mean, it just goes in one ear and out the other. But we're concerned, aren't we? Nehemiah was concerned enough to ask. Notice something. He says, I asked them, verse number 2, I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped. He asked them. His brother didn't come and say, hey, Nehemiah, have you heard? Have you heard? No, he's concerned. He finds out they've been down there. He's at, hey, tell me how it's going down there. You know, we're not even concerned enough to ask. You know, we've really got our own don't ask, don't tell policy. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing and don't you tell me your problems. That's where we're at. God's people as a whole, you know why? Because we're selfish. And you know what? We're not going to make a difference in anybody's life that way. As long as our eyes are upon our needs and what we want and what we're wanting to do, we're not going to touch anybody's lives. I mean, that's what I want to do. I want to make a difference. I'm not going to make a difference in anybody's life when all I'm concerned about is my needs. It's not going to happen. Nehemiah was a man that made a difference. You know why? Because he cared. He was concerned about other people. And we live in a day when it's all me. And that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is about others. And we've got all the answers. We just don't put it in practice. I mean, we don't call and check on people. If you're here, fine. If you're not, fine. You know what? People need to know you care. People need to know you're concerned about their life. Hey, there's lost people dying and going to hell. And you know what they need? They need somebody to show some interest in their life and their problems, their heartaches. But you know what we do? We see them. We see their problems. I mean, just the devil's just got to hold them, destroy their life. And you know what we say? Well, they're just having to live it. Way the transgressor's hard. We're really not concerned. And until we get concerned, we're not going to make a difference in anybody's life. Nehemiah made a difference. And the first thing I want you to understand is that he was concerned about other people. And if we're going to make a difference next year, you know what we got to do? We got to get our eyes off of ourselves and on others. We got to get concerned about the heartache and the needs of other people. If we don't, you know what we'll be doing? The same thing next year. Looking back, wondering, you know what? I wish I could have done differently. I wish I'd done this. Or I wish I'd done that. We need to be concerned. But then secondly, Nehemiah was a man that's willing to take a risk. He had the courage to believe he could make a difference. Now think about this for a minute. What's the problem in Jerusalem? The walls are broken down. Who's going to be the man to go down there and be the part of the solution? The cupbearer. I suspect he probably didn't have a great knowledge about building. I don't think he had a whole lot of talent when it came to building walls. Would you get excited knowing that, hey, the king's cupbearer is coming to help us with our problem? It'd be like you getting excited. If I showed up on your door, Brother Bud, and said, hey, go get your tax stuff. I'm going to fill your taxes out for you this year. You going to get excited about that? You know what he's going to do? Boy, he's got to go on. He can't do my stuff. Now imagine how they felt. Imagine in Nehemiah's mind what's going through his mind when he goes down there and says, hey, I'm the king's cupbearer, but I want to help you build a wall. He wasn't a man of talent. You know what? I don't think he was a man of great strength. He lived in the palace. I mean, I don't associate palace life with some rugged guy. You know what building a wall requires? Manual labor. It requires some strength. Now, when I picture Nehemiah, that's not the man that I picture to get that job done. If I'm going and getting me a crew of people to do a job such as build a wall that requires manual labor, you know what? I'm not going to pick a bunch of men that sit behind a desk their whole life in an office. Here's Nehemiah. He's got no talent. Probably don't know nothing about building. Really, probably not the strongest, most rugged person to get the job done. And what does he know about leadership? All he's ever known his whole life is somebody telling him what to do. He's a servant. You know what? A lot of times, those make some of the worst leaders there are. It's that whole mentality of, hey, I've been bossed around, now I get to boss somebody else around. When we were building those banks a lot of times, the masons especially, the boss would leave and he'd tell one of them, hey, you're in charge till I get back. You know what the first thing they did was? Stop working. I mean, they're up on the wall, they're laying block. He's talking, hey, you're in charge till I get back for dealing. The first thing he does is puts his trowel down, he climbs down on the ground and starts walking around telling everybody else what they're doing wrong. He made a poor leader. You know why? Because all he ever known, it was an ego thing. He had been the servant. He had been told what to do. Now I get to tell somebody else what to do. Here's what I'm wanting you to see. If we were in Nehemiah's shoes, we've got this big ambition of making a difference. We'd look at our lives and you know what we'd say? I can't do it. I don't have the ability to meet the need that's needed down there. I mean, I just can't do it. How many times have we felt impressed to do something for the cause of Christ? And the first thing we do, we start looking at our abilities, our talents, and here's what we start thinking. I can't do it. As much as I'd like to help, I just don't have it in me. There's just nothing I can do. Man, Nehemiah could have said that same thing. But instead of saying, I can't do it, you know what he said, what his attitude was? I'm going to try. And you know what? He made a difference in the lives of other people. You know why? Not because of his ability, but because he was willing to try just to see what God would do with his effort. You know how you're going to make a difference in somebody's life this next year? You're going to have enough courage to try. To take a risk and just say, you know what? I wonder what God could do. If we look at our circumstances before we act or do anything, you know what we'll do next year? We'll do nothing. Listen, you don't have any ability. You don't have the talent. You can't touch the hearts of men. Really, get right down to it. You can't do nothing. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can try and see what God will do through you. That's what the answer is. Nehemiah, I mean, this is real simple, but you know what? He made a difference in the lives of other people because he cared and because he had enough courage to try. What could you do in the life of somebody if you just got your eyes off of self this next year, looked at others, and just had the attitude, you know what? I want to try to make a difference. I may not be able to, but I'm going to try and just see what God will do. I mean, just for a minute, just imagine all the lost loved ones' names that we've called out. I mean, just tonight, the past year. You know what? They're one step away from eternity, falling off into hell. And you know who they're dependent upon to make a difference in their life? Me and you. There's people, their life is nothing but pain and heartache. They don't know nothing about peace. They don't know nothing about joy. And they're searching for it. You know who they're depending upon to show them the way? Me and you. They're depending upon us to make a difference. And sadly, we're so selfish that we can't even see the problem. And when we do, we're not willing to try just see what God will do. We look for excuses why we should. Nehemiah had every excuse in the world not to go to Jerusalem. I don't have the ability. It's too long a journey. Who am I to think I can take on such a task? I mean, excuse after excuse he could come up with. But instead of excuses, you know what he said? I'm going to try. I'm just going to try and see what God will do. Church, that's the attitude we need to have this next year. If we want to make a difference. Nehemiah, I mean, it's real simple, isn't it? He just cared about people and was willing to try to make a difference. And yet I look at my life, just opportunity after opportunity, it's missed. Because of those two simple little truths that I won't put into practice in my life. I'll tell you what, I ask you to stand tonight. Jordan, if you want to just play something, Brother Allen, we don't need to sing. I ask you to just stand by your heads. Here's what I want to challenge your hearts with this evening. As we enter into this next year, would you be willing just to rededicate to God and just say, Lord, here I am. Lord, if you can use me, I want to be used of you. Help me to get my eyes off of myself. Help me to truly see the needs of others and help me to try to make a difference. Nehemiah had a desire to make a difference, and that's what you and I need to have. You need to come pray this evening. You come and pray.